Well, I've got a lot of recordings sitting here waiting that I never really uploaded, which I can do as soon as I get to my destination. Just never know you're listening to Cohen Meanderer, probably. You know, and you just never know where this is going to end up. And so you just throw it at it as if it's going to be that. See what happens. To be honest, I don't know how many people, if any, actually listen to these recordings. I don't know who I make them for. I used to think it was at least for my kids or for my family, but I don't know. They've got their own things going on, and what I put out there is just, I guess, part of the noise. So, well, you put it out there. You see what sticks. It kind of makes me think, you know, people will, I don't even know if it's occasionally, but I don't really pay attention to Facebook a lot. I put myself out there in other ways, other places. Facebook's been a bad advertising medium anyway. But people would put out there and say, hey, if you're really my friend, and it's like, wow, that's kind of, I don't know, I've never fully understood the idea of passive aggressive. You know, that's, for having looked at a lot of things, trying to make connections to people, that's a pretty rotten way to do it. Is to say how bad of a person you are if you don't acknowledge somebody else. Anyway, they'll put up this thing and say, if you're really my friend, and they'll give you a couple of hoops to jump through, you have to do certain things and stuff like that. And it's like, oh, God. Pardon me. I've never been one to be like that. Just, you know, just, you're trying to put out things that you think are, well, I don't know. You know, I don't know if it's compelling or if it's anything like that. There's the YouTube channels. The fact that they can be monetized and people can make some money off of it. I don't know if it's really enough to live particularly, but they sure act like it is. With all the time and effort they pour into trying to make it work entrepreneurially, I watch sometimes, and I should know better because he's kind of clickbaity. He makes big things out of little things. Jared, who runs his outfits called Christian Homestead. And and he puts out tons of content all the time. Mostly around current events. He's kind of a signs of the times fella. He is a spreadsheet guy. I think that's where it ultimately started. That was kind of his, I don't know, gimmick, was to constantly try to figure out things based on what people are doing. He's got a little numerology going, but can I be honest? He said, Jesus seems to have a little bit of numerology going. I don't know if that's a hobby of the saviors, but, you know, I don't know if it's just kind of a neat game that he plays. I often wonder about just life in general. I've got strange obsessions. For all I know, everybody's got them. It's just that some of them are a little more out of the mainstream than others. When people talk about Asperger's syndrome, it's usually about being a little too obsessive about things and things that other people don't think much about. And when they go, well, they just don't have the right kind of social tendencies that we like to see. And you go, you know, it's just that really ends up being kind of what it is, you know. If you don't obsess in my generation, in my parents' generation, it was getting obsessed about cars. Oh, my gosh. It was all about the car you had, how it looked, how you took care of it. It was kind of a defining thing. I never got into it. I could care less about cars. I think my kids the same way too, man. Like, vehicles are just tools. See, and that's kind of what my thing's about too. The early internet, when it was just coming out, it was mostly kind of computerish obsessed people. Oh, those were the good old days. Kind of the Wild West of microcomputing. Before that, computers were big old things. You had to work either for a really big corporation or for some kind of a pretty good sized university to justify having one of these big. They might not have been mainframe computers, but they used to be called minis, mini computers, PDP-11, stuff like that. I'm sorry if I'm talking da 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 da. But it's one of these things that kind of coincided with the beginnings of the internet, when computers were starting to become available to mere human beings. And you could do your own thing, you know. They always said, boy, there was a lot of people who learned programming back in the day. And you go, well, you had to. If you were going to have one of these computers, that's what you did with them. That's what computers were, you know, a bunch of logic relays at first they were hardwired to do something. You know, if it was run traffic lights, you know, red, yellow, green traffic lights for roads and streets. That was what Bill Gates' first outfit. His computer programs were running traffic lights. That was his first company. That's as far as I'm aware. That's how Microsoft began, was doing that. Now it became BASIC for a lot of things. He would write BASIC language programs for different equipment, different computers. I guess his last one was the Tandy 100-102 system. That was really the last one that had his imprint on it. After that, he was mostly running the company that was expanding from that, you know, and became what Microsoft is today. You know, he became more of a strategy guy from what he was, which was just an old-time little hacker guy back then, a lot of the people did it as kind of a hobby. That was what I did it with. That's what I did it for, was just as a hobby. But, you know, all the stuff about autism and Asperger's and stuff like that goes back to just, this is, you know, at its very heart, it's kind of being really obsessional. And and what makes it a syndrome or stuff like, or a disorder, something, a social disorder, is the fact that people can't, you know, you can't really relate to most other people. It doesn't really sing to you. Anyway, so I'm not, you know, to be really honest, I'm not really that obsessional about computers as such. Still got them. They're actually the tools I use to do what I do, hardware and software tools. And I know enough about them to be able to work with them decently. Well, I've made sufficient money so that this is the thing that I was about because of this thing. So yeah, I said, you know, it's just about the obsession and stuff like that. I don't know about much about anything else. I'll tell you. I spent most of this weekend. At a certain point, things get a little, I don't know. I guess I get bored with them. I'm not sure. I've been upset. You know, I had an obsession about bulletin board systems, which is hilarious because I'm not really that conversational, which is what a bulletin board system really became, was, you know, it was originally put together as like the cork board at your grocery store. You would go up to the cork board at your grocery store. It's really, really intensely cheap grassroots advertising. If you had a system, or if you had a lawn mowing service, or you know, your dog walker or something like that that you were doing to try to make some money, you would. You would put it up on the cork board, either at the grocery store. The laundromat was another place that had it. In some ways, it was places like that. Or at the student union of the college that you went to. What else? Anyway. And that became computerized, and you could do that. It was just this cool new way of doing it back in the, pretty close to the very beginnings of the transition from mainframes over to microcomputers, microprocessors, which is what we called them back before IBM branded them personal computers. I'm sure that name came from someplace else, but I guess it really doesn't matter. Anyway, and then it really became something different. It started becoming, you know, there used to be games you could play, like through the mail. I mean, like the U.S. Postal Service mail. And it was turn-based, and you would tell the other person what turn you were taking, and then they would make those adjustments, and then you would send back your turn. And I'm always amazed by how I don't know if they were really patient. I know me. If I've got something coming through the, if I'm getting a package or something, I'm really quite, you know, oh, I'm excited. So, but this really became the substitutes for these things. Leaving little notes up on a pin board. The beginning of, well, there used to be blogging. None of this stuff has ever really gone away, but it just isn't the amazing thing it once was, you know. I don't know very many people that do blogs anymore. Now it's more like YouTube channels, but it's like, okay, we're all waiting for the next new thing. Hyper monetized stuff. OnlyFans became those kind of things. Anyway, people could make a little bit of money doing that. I watched a documentary about the computerized bulletin board systems, and it was there was people that were making money off of this. You know, they would have several phone lines coming into the computer, and you could call in, and there was games to be played, there was files to be traded around, although over time it really was not a thing. I remember looking at this one, and this guy had this room, and he had built these shelves and shelves and shelves that were the perfect size for the old carriers for computer disks, the old 5 1/4 inch computer disks. And he still had all these disks, and you go, I don't know what I'm going to do with them. It's just so much garbage now. This is the internet and being able to connect anytime you wanted to a lot of computers with a lot of storage, pretty much killed off the BBS. That was what that became. Anyway, and for me to say this, and you say, well, I'm a historian, and you go, dude, everybody's a historian of what their obsessions were. Back in the day, though, you could actually get a job at a university being obsessive about this stuff. I guess a few of those jobs still actually exist, but the vast majority of them don't, for just not being interesting at all and only being really fringe. And that's what autism, Asperger's, stuff like that is. It is the first realization that there's a lot of fringy people. And if nothing else, there's just a lot more fringes. Not, you know, I don't know if it's new. Heavenly Father held back spirits for a time when being fringe was going to work okay. Autism may disappear for just everybody's autistic because we've just got so many spirits that go in so many different directions. And I don't know how tenable the whole thing is for how that works. You know, I don't know. Some pretty esoteric people have found ways to monetize some pretty esoteric things. Although the people who obsess a lot about topics that have a larger peer group do really well. So the whole thing about places like say OnlyFans, for instance, is almost everything appeals first to the deviant. And that's where you've got to be careful. You know, and And the Lord doesn't say don't do whole swaths of things, except for getting into sensuality and sexuality. Those are things to be avoided. But, you know, that's always where it comes through. OnlyFans became a heck of a monetization service for dirty old men to ogle or feel like they are connected or attached to nubile pretty girls. And you go, yeah, that's dangerous stuff. And people will pay. People will pay quite a bit to do that. The pornography element of it. And it is very spiritually destructive. So God just says to avoid it altogether. And it's a good thing to do. But you have to find something to do to keep you busy. A lot of people do jobs. Said I don't find the jobs I do all that interesting, all that intriguing. The whole aspect of being a content creator, you know, back in the day that used to be being a novelist or a writer, because that was pretty much the only way that you could transmit your ideas or your thoughts or things like that was through books. We didn't have ways to do anything else, and that was true for a very long time. Of course, it was the whole thing of how difficult it was to publish. Now, publishing is like water. So there is just so much stuff out there. Everything kind of degrades. Lisa and I are reading a book right now called The It Girl. It's by this writer. And if you're going to make any kind of a living, you know, I don't know what constitutes a career. That seems silly to me on a certain level. It all becomes about business. And I'm not, I don't care about business. You know, my family and my lifestyle require, I don't have much of a family anymore. They've all gone on to do other things. Well, anyway, I'm sorry. As usual, I go off into 5,000 little things. What was I talking about? I'm talking about OnlyFans, which is hyper monetized, things. YouTube came up with a huge thing of, well, you know, we're going to provide video streaming service, not really streaming, on-demand video service, and then they kind of tacked on a bit of monetization, but it really wasn't a thing. You know, those guys really got more into, oh, let's corporatize this. We're going to have bigger corporations because we want larger numbers of views that we can sell advertising on. And OnlyFans, I don't think they do advertising at all. And people pay for it directly. It says, and you've got to be really titillating to do that. And of course, the whole definition of that is practically pornography. And everything kind of falls to that. I don't know. I don't ultimately know how these things work. I don't know where these things come from. It's very sad that we have to live in a world where the taxes and fees for simply living have gone so high that you know, when people say, how come the suicide rate's going up? And you go, it's it's because you've just by nature made life way too demanding. People could live all kinds of lives, and there really wasn't this huge drive to be rich, particularly. Now, I'm not saying that that hasn't always been kind of a thing, that there was a lot of interest in being rich, but a lot of people would just say, you know what, I don't want to put forth that kind of effort for that. And yet, here's what I do, which is crazy. When I take a few minutes and I think about it, all this driving over to Amarillo and sleeping in a boat during the week and coming home on the weekends, really just, it's really quite, it sure is a lot of money spent to make an income. Now, can I be honest? It's really, there are some lucrative aspects to it. And I kind of wonder sometimes, but there's very little to do in Tucumcari to keep people from, like just doing drugs and stuff like that. You know, people say, well, people are just so sad. You go, well, it says, what else can they really do? Started this town to service some, to service the railroad industry. The railroad industry doesn't need Tucumcari anymore. So there's a travel industry. You can work, at one of our hotels or at one of our food places. But to be honest, you know, these are, you know, I do other things. The content that I create is really kind of esoteric. So I guess I'm circling back. I'm not really a chatty exchange person. So the old computerized bulletin board system and what it became isn't really my thing. I'm not really that social, and I don't like, these things can easily get really fractious, and I'm not into that. Strangely enough, I've got my weird ideas, and I dump them on things. I dump them on people and then walk away. And of course, that doesn't excite very many people at all, you know. A lot of people get into this because of the argumentative discussion thing, you know. It's like how do you keep things civil? And it's like it's harder because we don't have a lot of civil people, and life doesn't force us to be civil like it used to. If you wanted to have a conversation with somebody, you had to get in front of them. You had to go to places where such things was happening, and you couldn't have brawls all the time. You know, the difference between being a bar and being kind of a back in the old days, they used to have lecture halls. I guess I would have done well in a place where you had kind of a lecture hall. And churches try to function like that. Although, to be honest, it became obvious really quickly that if you were going to do something at church, like for us, the weekly gathering is to do the ordinance of the sacrament, the Lord's Supper, whatever you want to call it. And but there had to be a you know, at least it became rather traditional. I don't know how it is anymore about you know, you would go and you would listen to a preacher and you would pay somebody to do this. Now, in the LDS Church, we're really big about making sure that, you know, nobody gets rich, nobody gets profitable, because that's one of the things that all of a sudden becomes weird, is that people will say what needs to be heard to keep their job, you know? And so they warp, like saying, for instance, the gospel of Jesus Christ, into something that attracts more people because there's more money in it. You take that away and it slows that down. Although, can I be honest? I said, even without the money thing, they're still vying for, position, power, acclaim, stuff like that. And I don't know if what I do is akin to that, except that I take one step back and say, you know, it's very important that you don't give the impression that you have the imprint of the church. You know, there are people who say, well, I would really like to be a noted religious scholar. This is a tricky thing outside of Brigham Young University when it comes to Latter-day Saints. I guess you can do that. You can do that if you want. That's really the only place where this stuff happens. But it's getting worse and worse and worse. What with colleges and churches, frankly, becoming so much more kind of remote. You don't really see your group, and they all used to say, "Oh, it was all about, it was, you know, it's all about being able to connect with your, with your listeners." And it's like, nah, I'm the old fashioned lecturer. I'm not interested in, you know, I don't want to have a relationship with students particularly. You know, I want to go, I want to do my stuff, I want to put my interesting ideas out there. And you want to see if they catch fire. And you go, well, I don't know. So anyway, I can see it again, though. See, and I've tried to do this a few times about getting on. It used to be the speakers bureau. The lecture circuit, this is what people would do if they had really interesting ideas. It's still present, but just like everything else, it's kind of warped given all these new media that you can use. It's become like being the talk show. And you go, is there really a market for this? And you go, well, you know, there tends to be kind of a breakthrough. Some people can just do it. Who's a good example? Randy Quaid, who has got some issues. You know, he might be one of those Zeniths I talk about that can see things. Hopefully not in too delusional a way, you know. I don't know if that constitutes psychosis or whatever, to say, oh my gosh, he says, you're seeing things that really aren't there. These things tend to happen with poor people who are a little smarter than their own good. Now this is just the way these people are. And so we keep coming up with these. I always ride the trailing edge of most technologies. Like right now, I'm putting up another wiki. Now this one's a little more formal of a wiki. These are what the old, I guess these were kind of an interesting change from bulletin board systems. They were kind of like that. They lent themselves to the very early World Wide Web, the very stateless nature of it, that you could go and you could just put something up. And other thing, people could put things up and it kind of lived off of cultural rules. You would get kind of a culture around this stuff. And it ultimately, you know, a lot of them for survival's sake put a lot of security on it. I use it as a place to compose my first, not that I'm very particularly good at it, but my first obsession. You can call it love. Composition, composing, putting things together in words, putting together words. Almost nobody does a good job of editing themselves, and I am very much that too. When I get from putting something down on paper to the editing, it kind of dies. But Wiki was kind of that way. It was kind of a composition, kind of editing thing. It could bring together those kinds of people. It wasn't terribly great. Now I was just reading one wiki. The whole thing of making wikis has kind of died out. There was the people who wrote the software that ran wikis. And the great thing about most of these wikis was they were actually written to be as simplistic as they could possibly be. And I've got a really simplistic one that I kind of warped off of something that somebody put together, but I got rid of it because it required more of a software load than I was really ever really interested in playing with. And I tried to get into gaming, but just never found it very interesting. You know, a lot of people say, well, it is a waste of life. And you go, can I tell you? I said, everything's kind of a waste of life. If you were to say the most important thing is to go out and make lots of money and do things like that, there is an immediate benefit to that. You know, things get better. Things go well. Economic things don't do so good. My whole thing about when you can, as soon as you can, translate your money into durable goods that you're going to need to get by. Whatever it takes to put money into raising food, that's a good thing. I live in a place where it doesn't rain much, so you actually have to, at a certain level, pay for water, which is very sad. I know there's places where there's just tons of water. But it's also very humid in those places. But gardening works fantastically. And it's like, it'd be great if we could have, you know, garden stuff like that. Anyway. So, as usual, I'm going off into 1,000 different directions, which is very interesting for most people. I keep getting these emails from Pantex. Southeast Circuit Electrical Outage. I don't know if that affects... it shouldn't affect our data center too much. Most people don't like to keep those circuits down. Southeast. Well, I'm in the south toward the east. I don't know what that is for the for where I work. Anyway, doesn't matter. Oh, my pants have shipped. It is really the whole thing of you really need to turn money into durable goods as quickly as you can, so that you can so you can do what you need to do, and you don't have to put out money for it. You know, the whole sense of home production is really important. So I guess that's the economics of it. So many people say, well, you get this money, you need to invest very quickly into stock market or mutual funds for different municipalities or you know, stuff like that to grow your money because you're having to stay ahead of inflation. And you go, you know what? Better to turn it into other things. You know, I've been thinking about buying precious metals. Silver is probably more along my speed than gold is. And I would think more along the lines of we need to buy the tools and the materials needed to construct the things that we need that will last a long time. Making raised beds for gardening. Gardening's a huge thing. You know, should everybody be into gardening? Yes. Do you have to be amazing at it? I said, to be honest, I don't know, except that there are a lot of bugs in my universe. And I don't mind being what do you call it when people just walk around and pick stuff and eat that? A forager. I don't work to kill off purslane in my world. That's not interesting to me. I'm more into having that kind of stuff so I can eat it later. So, yeah, raised beds in my part of the universe are important because otherwise you're just really not going to get anything to grow. Around here, grass is established enough that you have to fight the grass constantly. And I just don't, you know, I'm not big into fighting for the grass, honestly. So, anyway, that's one of the biggest things on how to deal with the modern world. It's not that any of the real basic principles have changed, but it really is how do you handle life? And how do you make things work? Like when we get a good tomato crop, oh my gosh, we get a good tomato crop. That's what makes famine so tricky, is that we have so centralized and made into like a factory production so many things that, you know, you don't need stuff so much, honestly. And people specialize too much. And I know the money's good, but you want to make things work better. Ground that we have around here is really bad. It's really poor. You have to do a lot of amendments to it to grow much of anything that isn't just cow food, alfalfa. And I think you even have to work that pretty hard. The kind of foodstuffs that work for people don't work very well out here at all. So, and that's sad, you know. Anyway, so you just put stuff out there. This one's going to be called Obsession to Home Production. And, maybe I'll talk more about home production, and this one can be more about obsession and the fact that you really don't even need to think about it so much as, it's time to stop. Let's go ahead and stop it here. I don't want to do the priestly blessing all the time. So I'm just going to leave it off here. Everybody have a good day. Talk to you later. Bye.